This is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on World Sustainable Development Summit. The participants are Mukul Sanwal, environmentalist, and Urmi Goswami, journalist.
The World Sustainable Development Summit organized by TERI's Prime Minister Narendra Modi inaugurated gave his keynote speech to the summit, focusing really on the need for sustainable development. Of course, Prime Minister Modi spoke of India's tradition of respecting nature and understanding that how in protecting nature is where our prosperity lies. At the same time, he also spoke about the imperative for economic growth of ensuring basic amenities like electricity for all, for clean cooking fuels for all being available, and the need to do it in a manner that respects planetary boundaries. All in all, it gives a sense of we are in a very difficult time and situation, because on one hand we have our needs and on the other hand we have these limits. We can't just develop as we wish. Is the situation as dire as we hear it?
Absolutely. The situation is very dire because India is a large country. Majority of the Indians are still poor. It has been only recently, I would say, if you take the historical time, where we have become independent, and there was extreme poverty during colonialism. We have made great strides. The Prime Minister, I think, raised three very important points. One was that our ancient civilization is based on respect for nature. And here, without saying so, he was implying that Western civilization has not been based on nature. They have been based on conquering nature. Their economic well-being and growth has been based on technology, which has used natural resources. Unlike our civilization and our current economic growth patterns, where we are respecting nature and tempering economic growth to protect nature. Second point that he raised was that it is not just economic growth, it is also the well-being of the people that is important. Good governance must reach all, he said. And I think an important statement that he made was that India is giving importance to mass public transit. Now, we know today that the fastest growing emissions of carbon dioxide worldwide are from transport emissions. According to a range of projections, if present trends continue, transport emissions will be 50% of global emissions in 2050. And they are increasingly becoming the most important emissions in the developed countries. So, the way development has taken place in, say, Europe, United States and Japan, personal transport intensive model, and the number of cars per individual, India is about 1/15th that of the United States, and there is no way that we are going to have 1.5 cars for each family in India. So the thrust on mass public transport is an indicator that he is looking to the future and saying that as urbanization progresses, we are not going to follow the model that is before us, we are going to follow a different model. And the third point I want to emphasize is that he is stressing this point when he is talking of climate change as climate justice. What he is saying really is not that we will not do our fair share. He is saying that we have common responsibilities because it's a global problem, so we will do our best. But if we need to do more because of global concerns, then we need finance and technology. So a big shift has been taken by the Indian government, and I think it's very appropriate. The Prime Minister is no longer saying that we will do something for global warming or climate change, provided you give us money. He's saying we will do our best. If it needs to be speeded up, then you give me money. And I think the important issue here is just not talking about it, and he emphasized this in his statement today, that India, along with France, have catalyzed this solar alliance, which now includes 121 countries. India has a target of 175 gigawatts of renewable energy, of which 100 will be solar. So despite the fact that nearly more than a third of the population is not connected to the grid, India is emphasizing the point that while coal will remain important, but as our needs for electricity grow, we will increasingly shift or rely more on renewable energy than other countries did at this stage of development. So I think it's important to recognize what other countries were doing at this stage of development, whether it is per capita or emissions or per capita GDP. And then you see that India is doing much, much better. And above all, India is conscious of the fact that while we grow, we will not curtail our growth, but we will grow in a different manner. And I think that came out very powerfully in the Prime Minister's statement that India's growth will be different to that of the West. And I think that was an important message that he was giving for the conference.
Well, that is a very important message. But when we look around and we see, you were right, that each Indian will never have 1.5 cars. But if you look at a city like Delhi or many other cities across the world, even the tier 2 cities, we find them increasingly choked. I mean, if you just look at transportation as a thing, private transportation has become the norm because of various reasons. And yes, the shift towards the conversation about mass transit should sort of come in the way to alleviate that. it may be a numerically small class of people, we are actually mimicking what has happened in other parts of the world, particularly in the West. And that almost makes this crisis for us, just in India alone, very difficult. Making shifts in habits is a tough job, and sometimes it's not politically expedient. What do you think are possible instruments which can help make this shift towards actually having more practical and sustainable ways of living?
The most pronounced global trend today is urbanization. Environment concern first became a global concern in 1972. By then, two-thirds to three-quarters of the population of the United States, Japan and Europe had already shifted to cities. And they had become aware that future environmental problems are going to be city-based. They're going to be urban problems for the simple reason that most of the population will be living in cities. And since this is an anthropogenic or human-created problem, this is the problem that's going to lie in the cities. But they had already moved into cities when they realized this problem. Urbanization is taking place at this point of time. But while we are still moving into cities and cities are being designed or developed, we must recognize that unlike in the developed countries, our cities have an origin prior to the Industrial Revolution. Even when we're an agricultural society, because of the way our civilization developed, urbanization had taken place in a different way. There were urban centers, handicrafts, textiles, things. You know, it could have been military centers. But there were a large number of urban centers which predate the Industrial Revolution, unlike in the West. We had old cities which were designed very differently, which were not designed, rather, to take into account automobile transport. So you have narrow lanes, winding lanes. You don't have grid pattern of a modern city. We need to modernize those, adapt them to road transportation. They're also not uniquely designed to facilitate mass transit, again, because of the winding roads and congested habitation, not in terms of the modern congested habitation of skyscrapers, which allows you to have an efficient public transport because it makes it economic of the volume of people moving, but because of the winding roads and the mix of home and handicraft and industry rather than different zones. So we have a uniquely difficult or challenging urbanization problem which is taking place. And you see that in Delhi with the air pollution. The topography of India is also such that the meteorological conditions don't favor us. We have very high levels of seasonal rainfall, which again means that our sewage systems or drainage systems need to take into account that kind of volume of water which is being exacerbated by the climate change. We have certain problems which are common throughout the world and certain problems that are unique to India. Now, I think an important issue that the Prime Minister has picked up or the government has picked up is new focus on cities. So far, the focus had remained rural. Most of the budget was going for rural development, which was important, but very little of the central budget was going for cities. Now you have at least the notion of smart cities. We can debate what is actually being implemented, should have been done better, or some other issues can be taken up, some other sectors can be taken up. But the fact is that there is a push towards cities. There is certain template here requiring the state governments also to give importance to cities. Secondly, the issue of mass public transport. Now you find that metro systems originated in Bombay, Delhi, Calcutta, metropolitan cities by definition, but they are now being spread. These are very costly ventures. But if you take a different kind of cost-benefit analysis, idling cars waste a lot of diesel which we import, the health hazards, and the fact that arteries get choked, people get delayed, there's also a cost to that. They're not that costly when you take a wider sense, but it is being spread. The push towards more buses is originating in Delhi in a very big way, but central government schemes for urban development throughout the country have also been talking about public transport, and central money for public transport. I think this is important. Now, for the first time, I would say, the issue of cooking gas has come up. Not just distributing cooking gas, but covering every single household through cooking gas. Now, that has huge implications for environment, for health. At certain level, particularly in the urban environment, they interlink. Clean water means less health problems. So I think what has happened is that the magnitude of the problem is such, one, and two, that in a federal state, you have to have some mechanisms for the central government to push certain policies. We tried regulation in the past. Sole reliance on environment was on regulation. The Environment Protection Act, air pollution and water control systems, thinking that this will take care of the problem. It did not, for two reasons. One was that what happened to the historical pollution issues? If an industry had been set up before the legislation came, there was no way they could adopt the new legislation. In some cases, technology was expensive or didn't have the space, whatever. So you had this historical legacy problems of industrial units set up before this legislation came in or new legislation came in. Now, I think regulation has a limit because, as you very rightly said, there's a behavioral aspect too. You cannot criminalize this behavior. You cannot punish everybody for this. It doesn't work because the objective is not to punish or not to prevent certain things happening. The objective is to preserve the environment, a healthy environment for the individuals. So I think the allocation of a sizable section of the budget towards urban development issues, I think, is very, very important.
You're talking about a mindset change within policy. Theme actually is about developing partnerships. And it's interesting that you talk about the limits of regulation or the failures that a regulation has had in the past. Perhaps the focus should be on developing partnerships, whether it's with business, civil society, academia, policymakers. Do you see the beginnings of those partnerships in this country? Because that is finally the one way to kickstart and jumpstart this effort, as we both agree that time is of essence.
Yes, because we have to make these changes as we grow. We have one lesson from the developed countries. They are already urbanized. They have no respect for nature. The other lesson we have is from China. Breakneck economic growth, and now it is part of their official policy that we made a mistake. We now need to take care of the environment. Do we pollute first and then take care of the environment when we are richer and we can afford it? Or we modify our growth pattern and strike a balance between the two? I think India has very rightly taken up that issue that we will grow in a different manner and take up. And as you said very rightly, that the budget has limits. The requirement is so huge that we cannot meet the requirements for the budget. Now, I think what again the government of India is doing, and I think the Prime Minister is taking it as a personal kind of mission, that you try new ways of dealing with this problem by pushing Aadhaar, for example. If I give you subsidy, I want to make sure there's no leakage so that it can go to more schemes. I think that's a very big innovation. We did not have that kind of concept earlier. There's provision in the budget, and I think it will reach somewhere, and something will happen. Rajiv Gandhi famously said only 20% is implemented. Now, here, as soon as you start getting into Aadhaar, for example, or through the banking channel, you make sure that it's not 20% that goes down, 80% at least goes down. I think it's a very big shift. That's part of the mindset shift, using technology to improve implementation, improve policy design. The other issue is the CSR activity has also picked up recently. So you see the beginnings of a private-public partnership with the business. You can call it philanthropy, you can call it working with government. But I think the next step, we have yet to take that creative leap, to say that, look, why is the metro designed by a metro corporation? Let it be privatized. People may need to pay more, or we will cross-subsidize it in some manner. I think we are moving in that direction in some way. In the railways, we are moving in it. In other places, we are moving in it. Electricity, coal, we are moving in that direction. And I think that kind of mix of technology, budgetary resources, or even taxation, and some kind of public-private partnership. National Highways, it is working very well. There is no other way we could have done this.
You were talking about partnerships and how we are moving towards it. One of the things is about creating the right kind of ecosystems to help, say, smaller units. MSMEs are the bulk of our industrial backbone, and they do not always have the ability. You see that as part of the policy to find solutions that are there which they can adopt more easily, and perhaps that is where we need to go next.
I have some experience of this. I was the first joint secretary of the newly created pollution control division in the late 80s. And we realized that small industries' big problem was that they were located in industrial clusters. And then came new legislation, and they just could not afford it. It was just not viable. So you needed to have cluster kind of approaches and common effluent treatment plants. That didn't work. I think what is happening today is even more important in a sense is that because of the opening of the economy, the small industries are also competing worldwide. So they are adopting the newest technologies. And I think the important issue that the government is pushing, and again the Prime Minister makes that point everywhere, and even he made it today in the Sustainable Development Summit, talking about Make in India. Now, Make in India, he's stressing the point also that I need the new technology to come in there. He's not saying it as part of Make in India, the slogan, but it includes new technology. Now, as soon as we start adopting the latest technologies that are available, you will control pollution by itself. You don't need to regulate it because the technology itself will make sure you don't pollute.
What we have is a difficult situation, but a government whose mindset is changing. What we need to do is accelerate these partnerships so that we deliver on economic growth but sustainable development in a manner that doesn't endanger our population with too many health risks. Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on World Sustainable Development Summit. The participants were Mukul Sanwal, environmentalist, and Urmi Goswami, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnstalks@gmail.com.